Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
Thank you all for being here in Ladies Bible Class tonight. We're excited about tonight. It's been wonderful so far, and we've really enjoyed hearing everyone, and we can't wait to hear from everyone else. We have two wonderful ladies that are speaking to us tonight, and then we have our sweet Ella Jo, who's going to lead us in song before we start. We appreciate her being here and doing that. I'm going to lead us in prayer and then read the bios for the ladies that are speaking to us, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be here, especially to have stayed safe in the snow and to have been healthy enough to come tonight. We're so thankful that you've given us this time together and that you've allowed us to set aside time as ladies to talk about things, but also to hear from each other and to hear wonderful words that will encourage us and lift us up, but also words that can help us get through times where we don't know what's going on or we don't understand what's happening to us, and to see that that is something that happens to all of us and that we can learn from each other in that, and that we can pull from your scriptures and the wonderful words that you've given us to get us through those times. And so we're so grateful to you and praise you for that. I pray that you be with Ashley, and I pray that you be with Cynthia tonight as they are going to speak to us and the things that they've prepared. Lord, we know that being asked to do something like this requires courage and requires selflessness and transparency. So we pray that you will give them a peaceful spirit and a calm over their mind and their heart and their bodies, that they will be able to come up here and not just share their words, but more importantly, share yours. Lord, I just ask that you be with our time. Be with sweet Ella, and thank you for her and her willing spirit to serve. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got Ashley Clark, who's going to speak to us tonight. Greg and Ashley have been members at Madison for 12 years. They have three kids, Nikki, who's in college, Bryn, who's in seventh grade. She's also here hearing her mama. Hey, Bryn. And Ethan, who's in third grade. Ashley has helped with VBS and taught in cradle role. She also enjoys helping with the youth group. And then we've got Cynthia Chalmers. She's married to Adam. They married in July of 2022 and a month later placed membership at Madison and have loved getting involved in the ministries that are offered. They love going on youth retreats and going out to eat with anyone in the Young Married Connect group. She has worked with the AV team and helps to teach the pre-youth group kids. She works as a marketing specialist at Capstone Realty and loves her work.
Yeah. Okay. As Lorianne mentioned, we've been members here at Madison for 12 years now. Almost 4 years ago, in March of 2021, Greg was diagnosed with stage 4 small cell lung cancer. It was a total shock to us. He was in great health and was active, ate well, no symptoms of anything, a few age-related aches and pains, but nothing that gave us any indication there was anything going on. He started having some headaches, and that prompted him to go get his physical. Blood work came back normal. Still nothing showed. Within a week, he was having some vision changes, so we went to go get his eyes checked. That came back normal too, just needed some readers. Within a week, he had developed double vision. That finally triggered them to get an MRI of his brain on a Friday. They called us on Saturday night at 9 p.m. and told us that he had at least 15 lesions in his brain. And they suggested that we get to the ER first thing the next morning, since his symptoms seemed to be progressing. In the ER, they did a CAT scan or CT scan of his body, and it came back that he had spots on his lung, liver, spine, sternum, and hips. I didn't think they were ever going to stop listing places. Again, we were just in total shock. I was quickly trying to gather as much information as possible. I even texted several in this congregation. Looking back, I feel bad that some people heard the news via text, but we were just in panic mode. Everything moved quickly from there. They got him started on brain radiation like the next week. This helped to get his vision back to normal and correct some other symptoms he was experiencing. They immediately started chemotherapy. And from there, Greg fought this terrible disease for 21 months. Our prognosis was never good, but Greg didn't want to know the details. He never wanted to know a time frame. Greg was an avoider, and I think this probably played in his favor in this circumstance. I will never forget a year into the fight, we were on our way to Lads to Leaders with the kids in the car, and we got a call from the doctor to tell us the cancer was back in his brain. When we got to the hotel, we immediately dropped the kids off with friends and called the doctor back for more detail. At the time, we thought it was such a good thing that it had made it that long, a whole year without regrowth. Looking back, I think they were shocked that it took that long. One of the most touching things was that several of the men from the church pulled us to the side and prayed with us. It was so emotional for both Greg and me. Greg continued to fight for 8 more months after that. He worked most of the time and did really well for the most part. Around October 2022, I could tell the chemo and his disease were taking their toll on him. He started having issues with feeling in his feet. We thought it was just neuropathy from the chemo. Greg worked on his feet all day in a plant and worked until Veterans Day weekend in November. Things deteriorated quickly from there. By Thanksgiving, he could not go up and down the stairs and could not walk. They discovered that the cancer had spread to his spinal column. The cancer in his brain had also come back. We were told they were hoping to get us through Christmas. Greg continued to do the radiation treatments in an effort to slow the cancer. He really fought those last couple of weeks. He could not feel his legs, was on a catheter, and slowly losing feeling in his arms. Every day, I would ask him if he wanted to go, and he said yes. The church even set up a ride service for us so we did not have to lift him in and out of the car. He was supposed to go for his last treatment on December 20th. He woke up, was fine that morning, started eating breakfast, and then started not making sense when he was speaking. This had happened to us before with brain radiation, so it wasn't a total shock. However, it quickly got worse. I took him to the ER via ambulance. I was really hoping it was just a UTI or something, because I hear those can make you kind of loopy. But the blood work came back and it was normal. And so I knew at that time that it was the cancer spreading. So we went home that day on hospice, and Greg passed 10 days later on December 30th. It still amazes me how hard and long he fought. I probably did not give him enough credit for that. He came to trunk or treat at church on Halloween. We went camping with scouts as a family in November, and he even traveled to Nashville the first part of December to watch Brandon a dance competition, all without knowing he had just a few weeks left with us. As horrible as those 10 days on hospice were, watching him slowly leave us, it was also a very special time. We hunkered down at home. We didn't have to run a whole bunch of places for different friends or family Christmases. We just stayed just us and just soaked it all up. He was coherent for a few days in there, so we were able to do our Christmas early as a family so that he could be with us. It is still unbelievable to look back at that season and think, my husband died. My kid's dad died. Like, that's not real. Our faith during this time grew tremendously. Even though I was praying for a miracle, somehow I just knew this wasn't going to end how we wanted. One of the most important scriptures to Greg during that time was James 1, 2 through 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. When I first saw him reading the scripture, it took me by surprise. How could he focus on a verse that wanted us to count this nightmare as joy? How is he not angry about this? In the last weeks, he would just have his Bible beside him open to the scripture. Looking back, this verse really represents who Greg was. It fit his personality perfectly. Greg was always the content one, no matter what we were going through. He always saw the bright side. Greg just had a goodness about him. He always counted it all as joy. And honestly, it was a little frustrating at times. I was always the pusher, the one who wanted more and better and had big goals. And that's not a bad thing. We just balanced each other out. This verse instructs us to choose joy when we go through difficult times. It is an active choice we have to make. For some, like Greg, that comes naturally, a lot more naturally. For others, it can be very difficult. It's something that really has to be worked at. It can be really hard to see joy in the midst of trials, but by looking at things with joy, we see the blessings of God, and that helps to strengthen our faith. Once I saw how much this verse meant to Greg, I began to meditate on it myself. How could I find joy with such a scary, stressful, traumatic, terrible circumstance? What joys were there in this trial that we were going through? One way I found joy in what we were going through was that Greg and I got to spend a lot of time together. And that's something he always wanted more of. We were in a very busy season of life with kids in different life stages and all active in their own areas of interest. Quality time together was hard to come by. Due to COVID, my work had transitioned to fully remote. This was such a blessing in that it allowed me to attend all of Greg's appointments and treatments and be the support to him at all times. This horrible diagnosis that we had no control over made a way for us to spend lots of quality time together. We grew extremely close. We reconnected in a lot of ways. We were able to just be Greg and Ashley and not mom and dad or husband and wife trying to run a household. We got to have some important conversations that a lot of people don't have or don't have the chance to have. And what a joy that was. Another blessing or joy to us during this time was the amount of support that we received from others. There was so much done for us and things that I probably still don't know about to this day. The support came through friends, family, and especially this church. And this church is big, and I know sometimes it can be easy to feel lost in the crowd a little bit or not really know how you fit in or how important you are. But our church family here showed up in a big way during all this and really made us feel supported and loved, and I still feel that support and love today, even 2 years since his passing. One of the greatest things to me that the church did, and a lot of my friends, was that Greg passed New Year's Eve weekend, and so it was going to be like 2 more days before we could go to the funeral home and make arrangements. And I had just watched him die for a week. Like, I was ready to do what we had to do. So I just made one comment to one friend, and next thing I know, Brandon called me. And next thing I know, we were having the funeral here at the church. And it was amazing. All I did was share my Google password with a few friends, and it ran from there. Photos, I mean, a lot of y'all were here, so y'all saw. I mean, it was just truly amazing to see how people just really took care of us during that time. I didn't have to do anything but show up. Perhaps the greatest joy or blessing that came through this time was how we grew together in our faith. I felt closer to God during that time than I have any other time in my life. Even though we were going through the unimaginable, I also felt a sense of peace. I knew that Greg was going to be okay, no matter what. I would even tell the kids that. I would say, Daddy's going to be okay. It just may not look like how we want it to. I could feel God giving us the strength when we needed it and providing a way for so many things during that time. Greg's peace about it all was also something that inspired me. He never got angry and very rarely got upset about it all. I think he just knew. He knew God was with him and in control. Another verse that meant a lot to me during this time was Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. A lot of people want to get angry when bad things happen because God's supposed to make good things happen, right? That's not what this verse says. It says that all things work together for good. We all are going to have hard and difficult times. I don't believe that God gave Greg cancer. I think he got cancer because we live in a world broken by sin. God didn't make me a widow or take away the kid's dad as a bad thing to do. He healed Greg in the best possible way. And that's something I had to really work to separate. It wasn't about me. it was that God did what was best for Greg. I do know that God will use what I went through for good. He already is. This journey has changed me as a person. I'm much more chill than I used to be. Greg would be very happy about that. I don't stress about the small stuff. I'm much better at finding contentment where I am in the moment. Don't get me wrong. I have struggled. I've been angry, mostly for my kids. I have not felt as close to God as I did during that time since then, and I've had to work on it. Grief has changed me in ways I never thought possible. I've always been a big multitasker and thrived on chaos. I cannot handle things like that like I used to. I get very easily overwhelmed. And that's very hard for me to accept. It took me a long time to go grocery shopping without feeling like I was going to crumble. That was something Greg and I did together, and we enjoyed it. And cooking. Cooking has been really hard for me. A lot of you are wives, and a lot of your meals revolve around your husbands and what they're going to eat. And when that's not there no more, it can be really, really hard. That part's just now starting to come back for me a little bit. However, I still know that without a doubt, God is going to bring good out of this situation for both me and the kids. The kids, unfortunately, have already been able to support friends going through losing parents, and I know it will change who they become as human beings. A final good that I've had is the opportunity to speak to you guys tonight. Hopefully, I've been able to provide something that you can take with you in your faith or in your future. I appreciate the time. I am an open book, and Greg is one of my favorite things to talk about, so always feel free to stop me and ask me any questions. I'm always happy to talk about it.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for sharing that, Ashley. Bryn was one of my very first puppet team members on my very first trip to Lads to Leaders, so I love your family, and just thank you for sharing that. So, hi, my name is Cynthia. I know some of you in this room, but not a lot of you, and if you don't know me, I love to talk to people and meet new people, so come on up, say hi. But thank you for asking me to speak today, and it's funny how, you know, God's timing works, because the day before I got the text to ask to speak at this, I was telling my husband Adam, I was like, I want a catchphrase, and I'll explain what that means. I was like, I feel like all these, like, big Christian influences in my life have like a little phrase that they'll like sign a card with, or they'll say at the end of your conversation, and they just want you to remember that phrase. And the first one that came to mind was Stan Sherrod. He teaches our Young Marrieds Bible class right now on Sunday nights, and if you've ever had a class with him, you've probably heard him end class with, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I love hearing that from him, and I want to take it and, you know, get my own catchphrase. I thought of my best friend who would always sign all of my birthday cards and Christmas cards and long, lengthy texts with, remember who you are and whose you are. And I know that's not original to her, but she learned it from her mom, who learned it from her granddad, who was a spiritual giant at my church growing up. I also think about Mr. Rogers. You, of course, the, your, what is it? Your one of a kind, man, I'm blanking on it. I love you just the way you are. That's it. I love you just the way you are. There's no one in the whole world like you. That's it. And then I think of my youth minister growing up. His name's Tim Frizzell at the Creve Hall Church of Christ, and his catchphrase was always Joshua 1, verse 9, be strong and courageous. And I know that's not original to him, but he would always say it before the first day of school. You know, it'd be like, hey, you starting school tomorrow? And I'd say, yes, sir. And he'd say, be strong and courageous. And he would say it at camp when it was 9,000 degrees and we didn't want to go out and play sweetheart kickball. He would look at us and say, be strong and courageous. And I am ashamed to say I was pretty old when I actually sat down and read the verse. And realize that it's all over Joshua. But I want to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll focus in on chapter verse 9. But it's actually mentioned three different times in the first 9 verses of Joshua. So when you hear that, you can perk your ears up. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I had promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law of Moses, my servant. Do not turn from it. Do not turn to it, your right hand or your left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as we have known from, you know, just regular English class and from the sermons that we've been hearing recently, we know something's repeated multiple times. It's very, very important. And so Joshua, when you read the rest of the book, you learn that he's about to go into a lot. You know, he's the new Moses. And that's a lot of pressure. Even if he didn't really know who Moses was, like, that's a huge thing to go forth. And God told him three times, like, you're okay. Be strong and be courageous. And he says, very courageous. And I like verse 9 because it ends with, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I have never been somebody who, like, doubts that the Lord is listening to my prayers. And I don't say that to my own credit. I say that to the credit of Bible class teachers who really tried to hone that in, is like, God is listening to your prayers even when you don't feel like he is. And this second half of the verse really helped me learn that. And I think we all learned that a little bit deeper during COVID. So that is something that I thought about during COVID, is like, all these things in life are going to change, but the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, and be strong and of good courage. So that, thinking about how my youth minister said that on the first day of school, I would walk into school and not want to be there, you know, per usual, and I would think about his words, be strong and courageous, and I'd be like, okay, how can I be strong and courageous today? And it took me a really long time to learn what the difference between being, like, strong in your faith and a strong person. And I think I learned a lot about it in college. I went to Freed Hardeman University, and so if you know anything about Freed, very deep in the Bible Belt, we talk about church things all the time. But senior year, my college roommate was student teaching. We were living in a new dorm. We lived in the same exact dorm room from sophomore year to second semester senior year, and we got moved into a new dorm. And Adam, who was my fiance at the time, was also student teaching. And so all of my, like, my two closest friends were gone from like 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then they would go to bed at like 9 p.m. And in college, 9 p.m. is basically like 6 p.m. Like, why would you go to bed at 9 p.m. and leave me stranded for the whole entire fun part of the night? But I've been thinking a lot about that senior year, because that was really hard for me. There's a lot of it that I don't remember, because I just really didn't like that part of my life. I didn't like the other two people we were living with in the little apartment section that we had moved to from our dorm. I didn't like that my two best friends were unavailable. I was hanging out with a lot of younger people who just weren't understanding what I was going through, because they were in college and they were having fun. And I was like, my husband has this job in this state that I don't even like. Surprise, I love Madison. But at the time, I was like, I do not want to move to Alabama. That's such a rinky-dink little state. But I learned to love it. But I just didn't enjoy my last semester of college. And I was reading a lot of stuff like this. I was praying a lot. and I wasn't getting answers. I was on Indeed and LinkedIn and like Chamber of Commerce websites, like looking for an answer. And I wasn't ever thinking like, God, you're not hearing my prayer, but it felt like nothing was happening because he had a job in Fayetteville and I didn't know what I was gonna do. I was like, are we even gonna move to Alabama? What's happening? And so we graduate and June comes along and I still don't have anything. And I am sitting in my bed and I'm like crying because I haven't done anything for the past 2 weeks except apply to jobs. I was in one wedding and that's the only thing I did in June because I didn't have anywhere else to go. I didn't want to get a job at Chick-fil-A. I wanted to go what I did school for. And so I finally found a receptionist job at a pet hotel. And I was like, oh my goodness, what could be better than hanging out with dogs all day? Turns out a lot can be better than hanging out with dogs all day. I hated that job. I got yelled at, I got cussed out, I got not appreciated, and I just, again, was at that point where I'm like, okay, like, what's happening? I hate my job, I'm not even in the job that I went to school for, and the pay doesn't work, and all these dogs like to bite my ankles and rip my clothes, and this is just not it for me. And so my father-in-law came around, and he said, hey, we're looking for a marketer, and I've been trying to find one for a while, but I know that that's what your field is in. Do you want to take a stab at it? And my first thought, even though I hated my job, was like, I'm not going to work for family. I'm not going to do that. That never works out well for people. Like, no thank you. And then I cried about my job some more. And my little tidbit, this is just personal to me. I know it's time to leave a job when the job has made you cry more than once. And so I was on cry number 3 about the job. So I was like, okay, let me have it. And I applied for it. He just didn't give it to me, but I got it. And the very first Zoom call we had was on Christmas Eve. And everyone was talking about how wonderful and great that it was. And I was like, wow, this company is great. I love this. And within the first like month of the job, I realized that I was exactly where I needed to be. And I thanked God so many times, happy tears, about where he had put me. And I was so grateful that he stayed with me through this journey of not having a job, working at a terrible place, and then finding this job that I had job security in. And at the end of 23, I was like, okay, I've been here for a whole year, because it was on Christmas Eve. And so I'd been here a whole year, and I don't want to work for my father-in-law. Like, that is not my long-term goal. So where are we going? And I literally prayed. I was like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if I'm going to stay in this job for another year. I don't know if I'm going to be here for 6 months. I don't know if I'm going to be here for 5 more years. So, Lord, please just show me what to do. And I listened to a podcast one time, and I hope you know what I mean by this, but it was by a very community church, like, woman pastor. And she said that some people feel the Holy, like, everybody feels the Holy Spirit differently. Some people have a voice in their head, and they believe that that's the Holy Spirit. I've never met anybody who actually hears, like, believes that they hear the voice of God, but maybe you do. Maybe that's how you hear God. She said some people have a gut feeling, and they believe that that gut feeling is God telling them what answer to have. And then other people feel the Holy Spirit by talking to other people. And I know that that's very, very relevant and very something that we see at Madison a lot is like they need to talk about it and talk to their friends and family, and like what their friends and family say back to them is how they feel the Holy Spirit moving and working in their life. And so I was thinking about that and I was like, well, I don't know about that, but I guess like a gut feeling is how I feel the Holy Spirit. And I've wrestled a lot with like what the Holy Spirit actually does in us once we're baptized. Like, I don't think anybody really can confidently answer what the Holy Spirit does and how he works once we're baptized. But I was like, I guess it's that like gut feeling for me. Like, when I pray for God to do something, I pray for him to make it obvious. like when I was trying to decide what job to take, I was like, can you make it obvious like what I'm supposed to do? And when I was picking a college, I was like, can you like make Freed Hardeman obvious? Because like, I don't know what to do and I'm not confident enough in myself to know what the right move is. So can you like put stuff in my way and like make it very obvious and not just a gut feeling? Because if it's just a gut feeling, then I don't feel confident. And so at the beginning of this, well, it's 2025, at the beginning of 2024, I was praying, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Am I going to stay here another year? Am I going to move on? Like, what's the right move? And in April of last year, it was like the worst month ever. My grandmother passed away on our way to Lads to Leaders. My best friend broke up with a guy who she thought that she was going to marry. My job, and this sounds really stupid compared to the other two, but it really upset me. I worked full time from home, and I got put full time in the office that was 30 minutes away. My husband basically lost his job. That's a really long story. And so we were both working full time in Huntsville, and we're renting a house in Meridianville, and we're still paying the price of, you know, he worked in Fayetteville and I worked from home. So Meridianville made so much sense, and we could make the 40-minute drive to church, but now we both work full-time in Huntsville, and that house doesn't make sense anymore, but we're still paying the price of it because of leases. But we both had to go in full-time, and I was like, okay, Lord, I feel like these are the signs you're telling me that it's time to move on. I was starting to get in little tiffs with my manager, not like arguments, but like her and I just not agreeing on stuff that didn't really matter. But I was like, I feel like this is you telling me it's time to go. And then Adam lost his job and he was like, I need to take a break from teaching. I can't teach anymore. The superintendent at his school like totally blew his confidence. And he felt like he couldn't step back into a classroom. And so I said, hey, Dad, is there maybe something open with you that I can just take a break from teaching? And I was like, okay, not only am I working for my father-in-law, I'm also working with my husband, exactly where I didn't want to be. So I was like, all right, that's the nail in the coffin. So I went to Indeed and LinkedIn every day, and I was back to where I was two summers ago. And I was feeling very discouraged again. When you know you want to leave a job, but you can't leave, it starts getting even worse. So that's where I was. And Morgan Davis, who I don't think is here, was like, hey, I heard of a job opening at my company. Do you want me to send your resume? And I was like, oh my goodness, yes, please. So she did, and a few days later, I got a call. And I included that I love my job in my bio on purpose because I really do love my job. I work with two amazing Christians. My boss, his kids actually go to Madison Academy, so maybe there's some connections there. I work with two amazing Christians. Everybody who's not a Christian is still like nice. And my experience with people who I worked with who aren't Christians tends to be a lot of drinking and a lot of cussing, and they don't do that. And I'm so grateful for it. And since Adam got his new job with his dad, he is so much healthier, like physically and mentally. He was just talking about how we're so much more involved with the young marrieds now that he doesn't have the mental load of talking to ninth graders all day. And we've both been getting into like a workout routine and eating a lot healthier. We were just at Sprouts before this and we were like, wow, look at us, this organic chocolate, how cool are we? And it's just when those times come and I ask God what to do and I get that gut feeling or my, you know, talking to other people and reading the scripture and trying to figure out what to do, I'm asking God to make it obvious. And I do that in faith, knowing that he will. And I'm never, like I said, I'm never somebody who's doubted that he's listening, but I always think of Mr. Tim Frizzell in his head, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Whoa, that was awesome. Thank y'all so, so much. That was absolutely wonderful. Like every one of them have been. But I was thinking about Ashley's
something I wanted to say about you that I think everybody could get up here and say is that we admire you. I know you probably don't want to hear it all the time because you're probably like, stop telling me. But, you know, we look at you from afar and we constantly think, whoa, like, I mean, I know I do. Like that she's here, first of all, that she has stayed faithful, that she hasn't given up, that she's stuck it out. Because I remember when Greg passed away, and that first couple times I saw you after that, I saw you at the ball field, and it was very raw. And I remember you saying something like, I'm really trying hard to figure out, like, me and God right now. And I was like, yeah, yeah, you are, because I would be too. And when you said that, I prayed really hard for you, but I also like kept watching you as time has gone by and thought, she didn't give up. Like, she hasn't stopped. And for you to just be here has been a huge testament to your faith, but also a great example for all of us. So don't y'all agree? I remember seeing you at the gym when you told me that he was starting to go downhill, and thinking, that's not fair. Like, no, please, Lord, don't let that happen to them. When it did, you know, I could see where you would have those thoughts, where you would have the wrestling with God that the Bible talks about. But you haven't stopped and you haven't given up, and neither have your kids, especially Brent and Ethan. Like, y'all are, we have marveled at both of you. You're a great example to other kids, and all of our kids have watched you and marveled at all of you. So we appreciate y'all so much. God has really worked through y'all. And Cynthia, that was awesome. That was so good. And you remind me a lot of myself. I don't know how old you are, but 25, yeah. You remind me, like, a lot of the things you said, like, some of my experiences. And so that verse was awesome. It's a good one, especially to drill into our children, so I can see why a youth minister used it. that was wonderful, and I appreciate both of y'all for having the courage to get up here and tell us those things. I will save the thoughts that I had for next time so we can have a few minutes, because I know y'all want to hug them and have time to talk to them. But we'll sing through one verse of this song, and then we'll just have the rest of the time to fellowship. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of God. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life.